And we're coming back this evening for the last time for now to Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we're going to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be picking up Luke's account of the Lord's dealings with Paul as Paul makes his way back to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey, as he is arrested. And then as he is consigned to make his way to Rome to face trial there. So we're going to be looking at Acts 21 through Acts 25, beginning next Lord's Day evening. This evening, though, we go back to 2 Thessalonians. And as we do that, we're reminded that goodbyes are important. How we take leave of one another really matters. And that leave-taking might be perhaps at the end of a worship service, kind of physical separation, or it might be how we end, how we wrap up, how we close out a personal correspondence, an email to a friend, a personal email to a friend, or even a letter. For those of you who write letters. And Paul is writing a letter, and he's concluding a letter. He's had some rather firm things to say to his friends in Thessalonica. He's challenged some misunderstandings. He has confronted some misbehaviors. But he wants to leave his Thessalonian friends with a good taste in their mouths, not a taste of bitterness, but a sweet taste. And so he concludes by drawing attention to the blessings that are theirs in Jesus Christ. So we're going to read just the last three verses of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Listen, this is the word of our God. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we hear these words and we recognize these are kind words, these are gracious words. These are words that reflect not only the attitude of Paul, but these are the words that reflect the attitude of you, our God, toward your people. And so we pray that we would receive your word with delight, that we would profit from it this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So only relatively recently did I discover what an Irish exit is, or an Irish goodbye. I had to go on the internet to find out what an Irish exit was, quite honestly. And, I discovered from the internet that the term Irish exit is not used in Ireland, so I'm off the hook. But what I did discover is that an Irish exit or an Irish goodbye is when you leave a social situation without saying goodbye to your host or to the other guests. And the internet offered various suggestions as to why an Irish person might do that. And not all of those suggestions were charitable. But Paul isn't going to make an Irish exit as he wraps up his letter to the Thessalonians. Paul makes clear that as he closes out his correspondence to them, he has arrived at an end of what he wants to say. He has arrived at an end of his communication with them, his interaction with them, and it is a good end, so that they have a sweet taste in their minds. They're not going to be left with a sour taste after the things Paul has written to them. They're not going to be left concerned that because Paul has said certain things that were rather firm, and because he has challenged some of their behaviors and some of their ideas, that Paul does not love them. No, Paul spreads out before them a sampler of the blessings that are theirs in the Lord Jesus and that his desire is for them to enjoy. They're going to finish out, plied by blessings from the hand of Paul that come ultimately from God himself. And so our verses provide us with a sampling of the blessings that Christians enjoy in Jesus. In verse 16, the blessing of peace. Verse 17, the blessing of truth. And in verse 18, the blessing of grace, a kind of a sampler of some of the rich things that are ours in Jesus. Firstly, verse 16, the blessing of peace. And Paul writes, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." Now that's a blessing. It's a pronouncement of peace on the Thessalonians, and it is a particularly apt blessing for Paul to point out to them and highlight for them, because in their congregation there are some tensions, and Paul has identified some of those tensions. There are the idle ones who need to be admonished. There seem to have been some strained interpersonal relationships. Paul says to them in chapter in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, "Be at peace among yourselves." And in fact, that comes hot on the heels of some things that Paul has to say about the leadership in the congregation. So there's a suggestion that maybe there's some tension between the members of the congregation and the leadership. And then, of course, there are some whom Paul has had to rebuke because they are, they're not busy, they are busy bodies. And so Paul has had to speak to them. But Paul is a peacemaker. And our God is a peacemaker. This morning we heard Paul address us through 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reminding us that God has reconciled us to himself in Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is a peacemaker. He secures for us peace with God. And the community of God's people is to be a community of people characterized by peace. And Paul touches on that right at the end of his letter. And as Paul does so, yes, he may have in mind some of the specific tensions that exist in the Thessalonian congregation, but in the back of Paul's mind is the more general idea of the blessing, the Aaronic blessing that we have in Numbers chapter 6. We had that blessing pronounced upon us this morning at the end of our service. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our Heavenly Father is not given to Irish exits. At the end of the service, our Heavenly Father blesses us with words of peace, whether the Aaronic blessing or other blessings that we might use. We are reminded that we have a God, and yes, our God sometimes in the course of a worship services pricks our consciences. Sometimes in the course of a worship service, he rebukes some of our ideas, challenges some of our behaviors, corrects some of our thinking. How important for us to remember that as the Holy Spirit deals with us in those kinds of ways, it's not because our God does not love us or care for us. In fact, on the contrary, it's because he does love us. It's because he does care for us. And we make our exit from the worship service under the smile, the beaming countenance of a Heavenly Father who loves his people on account of Jesus. Our God smiles on his children. And Paul speaks of the Lord of peace. That's the only place in the New Testament that expression occurs, the Lord of peace. And we're thinking of the Aaronic blessing, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, the Lord give you his peace. And now Paul, who, when he uses the word Lord, speaks of Jesus. Jesus is the one who is the source of our peace. And Jesus, in effect, Paul's reminding us that Jesus follows us out of the building at the end of the worship service. Jesus continues his presence with us as we exit the building. He continues his presence with us out into the things that lie before us. Paul actually gets more explicit. He says, "May he give you peace at all times in every way." It's the idea of a constant experience of peace. Now, of course, you and I know that often that is marred, but Paul says that we as the people of God, even though we go through those times when we might feel anxious or distressed, we are in a state of being reconciled to God. We're constantly under God's blessing. We constantly enjoy peace with God through the Lord Jesus. The language that Paul uses when he says that may he give you peace at all times in every way, that in every way expression, it kind of literally means at every turn. And you know some of the twists and turns that our lives take on a daily basis, and 1 minute things seem to be going great, and then suddenly there's that kind of plot twist, and now things don't seem to be going so great. Paul assures us that even in those times when we're sort of discombobulated, even in those times when we get thrown, even in those times when we're bewildered or confused, the presence of the Savior is with us. He cares for us. And in fact, Paul makes it even more specific. The Lord, that is Jesus, the Lord be with you all. He's with all of his people. And again, we know that Paul has addressed different kinds of people. They're the ones who are living lives that are very exemplary. And then they're the ones whom he's had to rebuke. The unruly ones, the loafers, the idlers, the busybodies. Paul says, you all, as you trust in the Lord Jesus, you all are, you have that reconciliation to God. This is Paul's goodbye. And of course, you know that the English word goodbye means God be with you. And that's what Paul is saying here. The God of peace is with his people. So as you go out from the worship service, trusting in Jesus, be sure that the God of peace is with you. And in the ups and downs, in the twists and turns, you can't shake him off. His goodness and mercy follows all the days of your life. So there's a blessing of peace, but also there's the blessing of truth. And Paul puts the spotlight on that in verse 17. Listen, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. Now, very likely, as Paul writes this letter, he's actually dictating the letter. Very likely, there's a scribe who is taking it down, a secretary. The technical term is an amanuensis, and the amanuensis would copy down the dictation, and that was kind of standard practice in the day. The writer, the author of the letter would dictate, the amanuensis would write out the dictation, and then coming to the end, the author of the letter would take the pen, the quill, or whatever from the amanuensis and would sign his own name on it. Now, if you were reading a letter like that, you would know exactly where the amanuensis stopped, the nice, professional, beautiful hand, that lovely, those beautifully shaped letters, and then the scrawl at the end. And you know exactly where the professional stopped and the amateur took the pen in his hand. And Paul, writing to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, gives to us the sense that maybe his handwriting was a bit of a scrawl, because he says, see what large letters I write with my own hand. Paul had distinctive handwriting. And maybe not necessarily in the best way, but it was distinctively and recognizably Paul's handwriting. And as Paul does this, and as Paul says, I write this greeting with my own hand, Paul is, the letter is being read to a congregation. So the reader, the pastor, knows exactly where the amanuensis has stopped and where Paul has picked up. But Paul actually works it in so that the whole congregation knows that now this is from the hand of Paul. It's a sign of authenticity. And we saw earlier how the congregation, back in chapter 2, verse 2, the congregation had been troubled because of something they had read in a letter that Paul says that seemed to come from us. They had evidently read a letter where someone says, I'm writing on behalf of Paul, or maybe where someone said, I am Paul, and the things that were in that letter were disturbing and distressing to the congregation. It's important for the Thessalonian congregation to be reassured, to be absolutely convinced that as they receive this instruction, as they receive this letter that's coming from the hand of Paul, it is authentic. And not only is it authentic, but it's also authoritative, because it comes from the hand, or from the lips and from the hand of someone who is an apostle of Jesus. The letter has Paul's apostolic fingerprints on it. It is to be heeded. It's to be received as the word of God. That's how we received it this evening, as the word of God, because it comes to us from the lips and from the hand of someone whom Jesus himself selected to be an apostle, to be an ambassador. Remember we said this morning, the ambassador who bears a message on behalf of the king. Paul, by writing this, assures his readers that what they have is the very truth of God. It's reliable, it's authentic, it can be trusted. Sometimes when we make a verbal agreement with someone, or even a written agreement, we might shake hands as a sign of genuineness and sincerity. This is Paul's handshake at the end of the letter. He says, this is what I'm telling you. You can trust these words. And of course, for the Thessalonian church, as for our own, as for any true church, God's word is the basis, is the foundation upon which the church rests. The church takes her identity from the truth of God. The church's existence is shaped by the truth of God. The people of God are built up and molded by God's truth, taught and proclaimed, with the Holy Spirit empowering it and the Holy Spirit working through it. And back in chapter 2, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "We thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the words of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." God's word works in the lives of God's people. God's truth is powerfully effective as the Holy Spirit uses it in the lives of people. We should have great confidence in God's word as it's taught to our little ones in their homes, as it's taught to our beginners, as it's taught in our adult Sunday school class, as it's proclaimed from the pulpit, as we share God's word with one another, as we read God's word for ourselves. We have confidence that this is the very truth of God. And Jesus, praying to his heavenly Father, "Sanctify them, make my people holy, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The Holy Spirit works in your life through God's true word. We have the blessing of truth. It's a blessing to be prized and treasured. And we also have the blessing of grace. Verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And those Thessalonians needed the grace of the Lord Jesus. They were facing persecution, even by their own people, even by family members, even by friends, even by acquaintances. They were experiencing persecution and opposition. They needed grace. They were shaken by false teaching. They needed the blessing of God's grace. Within the congregation, there were busybodies, there were loafers, there were disruptive elements. They needed God's grace. They needed humility, the grace of humility, to be able to receive correction and admonition. Some of them were apprehensive about the future. They needed God's grace. Some of them were experiencing the sadness of personal loss, bereavement. They needed God's grace. And behind those bereavements, behind that personal loss, the grim realities of pain and sickness, injury, They needed God's grace. And Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's again, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is fully God. And very interesting that Paul uses the full title for the Redeemer. He is the Lord. He is powerful. He is divine. He is God with divine power. He is Jesus. He is the one who has personal human experience of pain, suffering, bereavement, rejection, loss, injury, and yes, death itself. Jesus has experienced all those things, so he is able to be a sympathetic high priest through whom we receive the grace that we need, the help that we need in our times of trouble. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the heaven-sent Messiah. He is the one whom God has sent to redeem, to save, and to secure needy people like you and me. And yes, Paul says he is ours. Not just the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Jesus Christ, God the Son, the heaven-sent Messiah, the Redeemer, is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our sympathetic high priest. He is our companion. He is the one who provides us the grace that we need. And when we use these words as a benediction, and yes, we do. And remember, at the end of the service, God doesn't just kind of God pronounces his blessing on his people. No Irish exits, no Irish goodbyes. God assures you, not only that you enjoy his blessing and his favor, but that's going to continue with you as you go out through the doors, out into the week. We enjoy God's favor. We enjoy his presence. We enjoy his enabling grace as we get out there in the rough and tumble of all the ups and downs of life in a fallen world. And Paul says, may that be with you all. And again, very significantly, Paul adds the word all. Paul quite commonly ends his letters by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. But here, he adds the word all, because again, the Thessalonians needed to be comforted. Paul has rebuked them. He has admonished them. He has challenged some of their thinking. And sometimes when we hear admonition, we misinterpret it. Isn't that right? We say, oh, I failed. What a loser. There I go again. I've blown it. I'm doomed to be a second-rate kind of Christian, leading a second-rate kind of Christian life with God kind of keeping me at arm's length. Paul says, no, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you all, with every one of God's people. And God assures us Paul assures us that he, Paul, is parting from the Thessalonians as he ends his correspondence with them at this point. His interaction with them is an interaction that concludes on good terms. He's not leaving them with a bitter taste in their mouths, not with a sense of relationships that have soured. He's leaving them with the sweet taste of blessing, of God's blessing. And as we worship together, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and as we fellowship with God's people, and as we take our leave at the end of a service of public worship, we do so with the sweet taste of God's blessing in our mouths and in our hearts. And that is a glorious, glorious thing. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you're a God rich in blessing. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who has secured such blessings for us. We thank you that you constantly remind us that you look with favor upon your people, that your face shines upon us. And so we ask that we would be conscious of your blessing, that we would be aware of your presence, that we would not be thrown by difficult circumstances, by unexpected twists and turns, but that we would know the peace that comes from your presence with us and enjoy your blessing. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.